for that special. And again, praise the Lord for His protection and His provision for His children. What a wonderful blessing that is, and what a wonderful message and song this morning. Philippians chapter 4, in your Bibles this morning, will be in Philippians chapter 4. And I was thinking about this passage, you know, for a preacher, I think we get extra exemptions. We can have extra favorite passages of Scripture. You don't have to just narrow it down to one. And certainly this would be one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I know we often say that. But Philippians chapter 4, what a great, great passage that the Lord has for us. So much in this Scripture, and certainly we couldn't cover all of it in a message like this. But I encourage you as a Christian to seek it out, go through it, and see all that the Lord has for us. If you've found your place in God's Word, if you'd stand this morning, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 down through verse 9 this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 down through verse 9. The Bible says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice, and we might just want to stop there and say that would be a good thing to remember in the middle of winter. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But that's not the complete message this morning. Verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And then verse 9 is our text this morning. "Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "The God of Peace." The God of Peace. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, we are so thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for even the opportunity to be gathered here today, Lord, and just the work that's already been put into this service. We're thankful for those that have sang specials this morning and how they've ministered to our hearts. We're thankful for the ability to be able to get out in this weather and be able to get to church, and we know you have a reason for us here. Lord, I pray that you'd make that abundantly clear through this message today. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. I pray that you bless our service. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. As a kid growing up, I grew up in a family in which there was three young men, three boys. And I remember as a young child, I was somewhat unsure of what to get my mom for her birthday or for Mother's Day and those kind of things. And so I remember I would always go to my mom and I would say, "Mom, I want to get you something for your birthday. I want to get you something for Mother's Day. What can I give you?" And my mom would always look back at me and she would say those words no kid ever wanted to hear. See, I didn't have much money, but I would have loved to go to the store and get her something. And she would always look at me and she would say, "Andrew," my mom's about the only person that calls me Andrew. She would say, "Andrew," she goes, "this is what I want. I want 24 hours in this home of peace. I don't want any arguing. I don't want any fighting with your brothers. If you guys could just give that to me, that would be a wonderful birthday gift." I'm a kid. I've got two older brothers. I was the youngest of three, and I'm thinking, come on, Mom, that's impossible. I can't do that. The three of us, there was less than 4 years in between us, 44 months in between us three boys, and so we were always close in age, and there was always, you know, fighting and bickering. I think that's just what boys do, you know. If you're raising boys, it's just kind of how it goes until they get older. I remember when my brothers graduated high school and actually left the house to go to college, I found out that I actually liked them then. We started talking on the phone and those kind of things. But she would say, "I want some peace in this house." You know, I thought about that idea of peace. You know, our world is striving for peace probably more today than ever before. And yet, if you look at the world, you'd see more chaos, more wars, more this going on and that going on. And the truth is, people will do anything they can to try to achieve some sort of peace in their life. And some look to maybe a getaway or a vacation, a retreat of some sorts, if they can get away for a few days and just get away from it all and find a place of serenity and peace. And yet, the only problem I see with that is if they've not changed anything about their life when they come back from that time away, their life of chaos will be there to meet them once again. Other people have given their lives work to the cause of trying to achieve world peace. And maybe there's some that have said, I'll put every resource that I have in my pockets towards achieving world peace. And around Christmas time, people say, we just want world peace. And the truth is, the Bible tells us as long as there's an adversary, the devil in this world will never experience true peace. And yet you study Philippians chapter 4 and you look at the condition of the world today, and yet I believe God's word is as relevant today as it's always been. And you look at chapter 4 and you see twice in this passage this phrase, the peace of God or the God of peace. And I want you to understand something this morning. I believe as Christians, I believe as human beings living here in this world, that God wants us to experience peace. And I want you to understand something this morning from this passage. I want you to see that God and peace go together. Understand this. Listen, you cannot know peace outside of knowing God. We see here in this passage of Scripture again, the peace of God and the God of peace. And yet we have to find peace where we find God. In a crowd this size, it would be hard for me to know everyone that's in this room. I know many of you. And many of you know me, we've talked, we know each other's names, and others I've met this morning and those kind of things, and yet there may be some visitors and those kind of things that I don't know you. But in a crowd this size, it's hard really to know everybody. And certainly I could never fully know all the things that you're going through, and some of you may have come to church this morning maybe bearing an incredible burden that maybe even in this congregation no one knows about. It's between you and God. And I thought about the things that we deal with on a weekly basis, and certainly in the world in which we live in, a lot of turmoil, a lot of trials that we go through. Sometimes it's the idea of a relationship. Maybe there's a relationship that's at odds. Sometimes it's between husband and wife. There's just a relationship at odds, or maybe with one of your children, or maybe there's a prodigal son that you've been praying for and longing for them to come back to the Lord, and certainly that's some of the turmoil that some people might deal with. Sometimes it's the idea of unexpected bills. Maybe this week you had an unexpected car breakdown, and there's an unexpected bill, and you're thinking, how am I going to pay for this? Sometimes it's work problems. Maybe it's a work relationship. You're dealing with someone, and maybe they're just making your life miserable at work, or maybe it's a deadline that's fast approaching, and you realize there's no way I'm going to meet this deadline at work, and there's just some turmoil in the midst of that. Sometimes it's physical ailments. You've been to the doctor and got a bad report, or one of your family members, someone that's very close to you, and got some bad news this week. And you're dealing with that turmoil and that burden that you're bearing, or maybe it's just chronic pain, something that you just deal with on a daily basis, and possibly by Sunday morning, after being beat up by the world all week long and the circumstances and the difficulties that we're dealing with, it's possible sometimes, listen, just to drag ourselves to church. And hope that we find something at church. Hope that the message meets the needs that we have. And certainly we know that as the Holy Spirit's working, He does meet our needs. But praise the Lord, not all weeks are like that. But sometimes that's the case, isn't it? Just come in dragging all the things that you've been dealing with, and possibly no one else knows about it. But listen, in the midst of seeking for peace, I want you to understand something. There's only one place you're going to find it. And that's with God. Only one place that we're going to find peace in the world in which we live in, and that's with God. And I want you to see from this passage that God offers to each Christian two types of peace. The first type of peace that He offers to us is that idea of peace with God. Peace with God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know God? Listen, I didn't ask, do you know about God? Didn't ask if you read the Bible or have you been in church. No, the question that goes forth is, do you know God? Is there a personal relationship with Him? Have you called upon Him and asked Him to be your Lord and Savior? We all have to ask ourselves that question this morning. It's often been said that God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Understand this. Listen, you will not get to heaven based upon someone else's merit. And I've met some people before out door knocking or just asking them about their eternal destiny, and they would say something like this, well, my grandfather was a preacher. And that's a wonderful thing. But that certainly is not going to get them entrance into heaven. Or some may say, well, I grew up in church, and praise the Lord for that. But that's not what's going to get us into heaven. In fact, I want you to turn back to Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5, because we see the source of true peace In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says there in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand the truth that's there in that passage. That word justified is a wonderful word. It means to be pardoned, or it means to be cleared from guilt. And I want you to understand what happens when you call upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you accept Him as your personal Savior, and you confess your sins and you forsake them. The Bible says by faith, you are then justified. What a wonderful thought that is for us to think about on a Sunday morning as we've come out of and come apart from the world. Listen, if you've called upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, can I tell you, the moment you got saved, you became justified? And God looks upon your life, and listen, He doesn't see sin anymore. He chooses you to see you as not guilty, so much so that if you were to stand before God today, listen, in heaven, you would not give an answer for your sins. It's a wonderful thing. It's called justifying. And listen, every person that knows Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, they're at peace with God. Will not answer for your sins. Not answer for the things and the times of guilt in your life, but you'll stand before God forever placed at peace with God. And yet I want to ask you a question again this morning. Do you know God? Have you been justified? Have you called upon Him to be your personal Lord and Savior? Listen, understand that is the only way to be at peace with God. And yet we see beyond the idea of being at peace with God, God offers to the Christian not only peace with God. If I stand before God today, if I'm saved, I'm at peace with Him. But He offers through this passage of Philippians chapter 4 the idea of the peace of God. The peace of God. Can I say it like this morning? All those that have been saved are living a life at peace with God. But sadly, some Christians will live this life never truly experiencing the peace of God. Or maybe they'll experience times in which they do realize the peace of God, and yet there's other times in which they're away from God and they're in a valley and they're not experiencing the peace of God. And sometimes it just seems like the turmoil and the trials of this life are just too much. And yet God intends for us to live with the peace of God on a daily basis as we walk this earth. In the last 12 years, the Lord has allowed my wife and I to be in ministry, and we praise the Lord for the opportunities He's given to us. We spent 5 years at Cleveland Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio, ministering there, and then for the last 7 years, we've been here in Indianapolis just laboring, and God has blessed and allowed us to serve Him. We've had opportunities to be around a lot of different people, and I've had opportunities to counsel with a lot of people, and there would be those that would sit across the desk from me, and they would say, Brother Andy, they'd say, I know that I'm saved. I know what I've done, what the Bible says I need to do to be saved, but I'm just experiencing this turmoil, and through some decisions that they had made, or through some choices that they were allowing to just reign supreme in their life, or just things in their life that they were allowing to affect them, they weren't experiencing the peace of God, so much so that I've had those look at me on occasion and say, I know I've done what I'm supposed to do to be saved, but am I saved? Am I truly saved? And listen, the truth is, I could not give them the answer to that question. Only they and God know that. I can only point to them to Scripture and say, if you've done what the Bible says you need to do to be saved, you're certainly saved. But listen, they're not living life based upon some decisions or some things in their life. They're not living life with the peace of God. And yet, on the other hand, I've had opportunity to be with some people that have gone through some devastating circumstances. Some devastating things. I've been at in the hospital at the bedside of some people that didn't have much time left here on this earth. And I've looked at them and they've had a smile across their face and they've recalled the goodness of God in their lives and how God had blessed them. And can I say that person was experiencing the peace of God in the midst of a valley? In the midst of a difficulty? And listen, I've been in both of those places and I can tell you far more, I'd much rather be the person that is at peace, is experiencing the peace of God on a daily basis rather than just that person that has peace with God but has yet to experience the peace of God. And here's what I'm saying this morning, church. It's time to go beyond just being okay with having peace with God and going beyond that into experiencing the peace of God on our daily basis. It's time to just not be okay with the fact that, oh, I'm saved, so everything's good. No, that's a wonderful thing, but may we get beyond that and realize that God intends me to live a life experiencing the peace of God on a daily basis. And we see here that what we have. I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. As he describes this idea of peace of God. He describes it as a peace that passes all understanding. I like that description of the peace of God because it's a peace that those that are on the outside looking in, they're scratching their heads and they're wondering, how do they navigate this circumstance? How do they go through that? And listen, the outsiders, all they see is the circumstances. But can I say the person that is experiencing the peace of God in the midst of that, while everyone else may see circumstances, all they see is God. They see God leading them through that circumstance and guiding them through that circumstance. What a blessing that is. And can I remind you this morning about the book of Philippians? Can I remind you that Paul is not writing the book of Philippians to the Philippian church? He's not sitting on a beach where it's 75 or 80 degrees and sunshine. He's not watching the tide roll in. He doesn't have a vacation home to go back to filled with all kinds of food. No, the Bible tells us that Paul is sitting in a Roman prison right now. He's writing about the peace of God, and he's encouraging the Philippian church as he's sitting in a cold and dark prison. Paul's not even sure whether he's going to walk out of this place in his own strength. And I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 1, because it reminds us about even the peace that was at play in Paul's life. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, look what he says. He says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." And here, listen, here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, brothers and sisters in Philippi, do you realize what God is doing? God has allowed me to be here in the prison, and God is working through this time in the prison, so much so that unto the furtherance of the gospel. People are being saved while I'm sitting here in prison. And you're not going to believe this. I love what he says in verse 13. Listen, I've had a chance to stand before dignitaries. I've had a chance to stand before governors. And I've had a chance in the palace to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, something that certainly wouldn't have happened had Paul not been in prison. And Paul is saying, I'm rejoicing because God is using this. And then he says in verse 14, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." It's not just me, but God's using my circumstances, my problems, my difficulties to be a blessing to other people. So now that other people are standing up and they're proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And you're looking at the Apostle Paul. And we're saying, how? You're sitting in a prison. How are you rejoicing? Look at verse 18. He says there in verse 18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached." And look what he says, "And I therein do rejoice. Yea, and I will rejoice." I'm going to find a way through the peace of God to be joyful in the circumstances that I'm hearing, because Christ's name is being preached. And can I say the peace that Paul is experiencing in this passage as he's writing to the Philippian church, it's not available in the world. It's not available through a bank account that's full of money. You can't find it. It's only available through God. So much so that I want you to turn back to John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14. Jesus here is speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking about how he's not always going to be with them. And one of these days, he's going to die. He's going to be crucified. He's going to defeat sin, death, hell, and the grave. And then he's going to be ascended up into heaven. And he says to them in John chapter 14 and verse 27. I love this verse. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He says, listen, if you're going to experience the true peace of God in this life, you're not going to find it from the world. It can't be found there. It can only be found through my Son, Jesus Christ. And listen, when we go back to Philippians chapter 1 and you see Paul rejoicing there as he's sitting in bonds in prison, you realize the only way that happens is because he's experiencing the peace of God. I want you to turn back to Philippians chapter 1 because I want to show you one other verse in this first chapter of Philippians. He says there in verse 20, writing again to this church, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. And look what he says there, whether it be by life or by death. Listen, again, Paul's sitting there in this prison, unsure of whether he's ever going to walk out in his own strength. But Paul says, I have confidence in this one thing. Whether they have to carry me out of here or whether I walk out in my own strength, Christ is going to be magnified in my life. It's going to be whether it's by life or by death. And can I say the only way Paul experiences that is by knowing and understanding the peace of God. Dear lady in our church, a few years ago, I had a chance to visit her. She had just had a surgery. It required extensive recuperation, and so she was placed in a short-term physical rehab facility. And I went there to visit her and to pray with her and to try and encourage her. And when I walked through the door, she said, Brother Andy, she said, do you have any tracks? I said, I do. I said, in my car, I've got several tracks. She goes, can you go get those for me? She said, I've got nurses coming in and out of my room all day long. I'm meeting with physical therapists all the time. I'm making friends in this place. And listen, I want to be able to witness to them and invite them to my church. Here's what she was saying. Listen, because of this physical issue that I'm dealing with, God has placed me in this place of rehab, in this place where I'm going to meet some people that I otherwise wouldn't have met. And I want to be able to give them the gospel. God is using these circumstances. Can I say that's the peace of God at work in her life? I've been to funerals, and there's a family there that's grieving for their lost loved one. But in the midst of their difficulty and in the midst of their grief, they're rejoicing because God is using that funeral message. And there may have been someone that walked through that door that day that didn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But as they sat in the pew and they heard the preaching from God's Word and they heard the testimony of that person in that casket, they realized they were a sinner in need of a Savior. And that family may be grieving. And that family may be dealing with the loss of a loved one. But inside they're rejoicing because God has used that loved one to be able to see someone else get saved, even in the midst of their death. And yet I want you to understand this morning, listen, that's the idea of true peace with God. The true peace of God that can only be experienced when we know God. And so again, the question goes out, do you know God? Are you at peace with God? And then, are you experiencing the peace of God? I said this morning, first off, that God and peace go together. But I want you to see, secondly and very quickly this morning, that for the Christian, the idea of peace and doing right go together. Just doing what we're supposed to be doing as we live here in this life. May I say it like this? You can only experience peace with God, or I'm sorry, you can only experience the peace of God when you're walking with God. Back in chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul is again speaking to the Philippian church. He says, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then he gives them the key word there. He says, do. Just do what you're supposed to do. And he says, when that happens, the God of peace shall be with you. As many of you have studied this idea of the Philippian church and have heard messages. And if you go back and study the Philippian church, you'd find that it's a wonderful church. They're a church at peace with each other. There's a harmony and a unity going on. And God has built this church up and they're growing in the Lord. And so much so, you get to chapter 4, you see that they're sacrificial and they're giving, they're supporting the work of Paul, they're praying for it. And listen, when Paul thought about this church in Philippi, it was a source of great blessing to him, a source of great encouragement. But can I again remind you how this church started? I want you to go back to Acts in chapter 16. Acts in chapter 16, because it gives us the beginning of this church there in Philippi. Paul was on his second missionary journey. He's with Silas, his co-laborer, and they come to the city of Philippi. And there, once they get to the city of Philippi, they meet a lady by the name of Lydia. Lydia, the Bible says that she was of the Jewish faith. In other words, listen, she would have looked to God as being the creator of all, as being the giver of life, the Old Testament. But she did not see Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Paul began to witness to her and show her that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah. The Bible says she was saved and her household was saved. And right after that, the Bible says there was a woman who was demon-possessed that began to follow Paul and Silas around. Everywhere they would go, she would mock them and she would mock their God. And for several days she did this there in the city of Philippi. And finally, Paul had enough of this. He turned around and he cast that devil out of her. The Bible says that her masters made much money by her. She would tell fortunes and she would tell futures and those kind of things. And yet when that demon was cast out of her, she was no longer any use to her masters because they could no longer make money from her. That made them very upset. They took Paul and Silas before the town leaders. And Paul and Silas were sentenced to be cast into prison. They were then beaten. But you remember what happened about midnight. Paul and Silas are sitting there in that Philippian jail. They begin to rejoice because they're experiencing the peace of God in the midst of their difficulties. The Bible says they start singing praise to God. Listen, the bars of that jail come open. Their shackles fall off. The Bible tells us that the Philippian jailer, he is aroused in this commotion from his sleep, and he looks and he sees those jail cells open. He begins to take a sword, realizing, I'm going to answer for the men that I've lost. He's about ready to kill himself when Paul stops him. And Paul says, we're all here. And the Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? I want to know your God. I want to know the peace that you're experiencing. The Bible says Paul wins him the Lord, and he wins his family the Lord, and that becomes the nucleus of that church. But listen, while it seems like everything is well there, can I say that Paul and Silas are still having problems in that city? And we see in there in verse 39 of Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, and they came, those were the leaders of the city, and besought them, Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. You know what they were saying? They were saying, Paul and Silas, you're not welcome here, and neither is your God. And they kicked Paul and Silas out of the city. And then we get to the book of Philippians. Listen, the book of Philippians is written 10 years after that time. And here's what's happening in the city of Philippi. God has raised up a church there. God is doing a great work in the midst of a church and in the midst of a city in which really God has been openly rejected in that city. And can I say that the church at Philippi, by the time you get to the book of Philippians, there's a pastor there. There's a leadership structure set in place. I mean, this church is growing. They're now being a blessing to other churches and to other people, and they're winning people, Lord. And can I say through it all, they were dealing with opposition, definitely dealing with persecution. And you get to Philippians chapter 4, and you get to the end of the book of Philippians, and Paul takes a chance to remind them, listen, here's how you've made it thus far the last 10 years, by experiencing the peace of God. And here's how you're going to make it going forward, because listen, the oppression isn't going to get any better. The persecution isn't going to get any better. And listen, Philippian church, listen, when you're tempted to quit, when you're tempted to give up, just do the things that you've heard and the things that you've learned and the things that you've seen. And certainly Paul would point them back to the past few verses that he just wrote to them. He would point them back to this idea of rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And listen, when you're tempted to complain, when you're tempted to think there's nothing but despair going on, rejoice in God's goodness. This is how you've made it thus far, Philippian church. He says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Yeah, you're going to deal with difficulties. You're going to deal with trials. But understand the Lord's going to be right beside your side as you go through those times. Hold on to God's hand as you go through the difficulties and through the trials. In verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, Philippian church, when you're tempted to quit, when you're tempted to be full of worry, take those things before God. Come before Him. He reminds them in verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, I love verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. When you're tempted to complain, or you're tempted to believe the rumors, or you're worried even about if you're going to be persecuted next, Philippian church, look to God. Believe the promises of heaven. Know and experience the peace of God. And I love this passage because Paul reminds them of God's prescription for peace. It says, for the past 10 years you've experienced it. Going forward, you're going to need the same thing. And he says there, listen, what made the biggest difference in this church? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Here's what's happening in the Philippian church as the preacher gets up each week and he preaches the word of God. They're receiving it. They're not just hearing it, they're receiving it. It's allowing them to change. God's doing great work there. Listen, how many of you know it's possible to hear but not be listening? I thought about it this way. Oftentimes I'll go home and it's been busy at work and just kind of tired from the workday, and I'll have four kids that greet me at the door, and my kids have a lot of energy. I don't know if your kids do or not. My kids have a ton of energy. And they'll be like, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 can we do this? Can we do that? Can you do this for me?" And I say, "Listen, can I at least come through the door? Let me sit down for a few minutes." And they'll give me about 30 seconds, and then it's, "Dad, Dad, Dad." And I'll say, "What is it? What do you need, son?" And I'm hearing, but I'm not really listening. And I'll say, "We'll see, we'll see. Dad, can we do this? We'll see." How many of you know that to a 8-year-old, when you say, "We'll see," you might as well have just promised them that you're going to do it. And I look at my wife, and she's got these big eyes, and she says, "Do you realize what you just agreed to do?" Because I was hearing, but I wasn't listening. And yet the truth is, listen, as the Word of God is preached, as we live this life, we need to take it in. We need to receive it. It certainly will change us. And here's what Paul is saying to them. He's saying, "Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me." You have the Old Testament example of the prophets. You have Paul and Silas. You have the example of Jesus Christ. He goes, "Those things which you've taken in," he says, "here's the key. Do. Do what you've heard. When the preaching goes out, apply it to your life and then just do what you're supposed to do." Listen, in order for us to experience the peace of God on a daily basis, we need to be doing the things that we're supposed to do as we live this Christian life. Listen, we've heard the messages, and might I just say, listen, there's never been a better opportunity for the Christian to live experiencing the peace of God on a daily basis as we are living in this era. Listen, we have the New Testament church that God has given to us. We have the preaching of the Word of God, which, by the way, the world says it's foolishness, but unto them which are saved, it is the very power of God. When the preaching goes out, God does a great work through the preaching of His Word. Listen, we have the copy of God's Word. Many of us have multiple Bibles in our homes. We can get with God anytime, day or night. We have the gift of prayer. And I'm saying we live in a world that's chaotic, and there's a lot of problems, but there's never been an opportunity better than the time is now for us to live and experience the peace of God. Amen. On a daily basis. But we're going to have to put into action the things that we've learned, the things that we've seen, the examples that have been given. I thought about it this way. There's an athletic apparel company, named Nike. Several years ago, they built a brand on three words: just do it. So much so that wherever you would go in most of the modern world today, people would recognize that symbol and they could say the same thing: just do it. Here's what Nike built that brand on. They wanted to take people that just had a knowledge of the game of basketball or baseball or whatever it would be, those that may be spectators, and they want to take them from their couch or from the stands and get them to buy their apparel and then not only just have a knowledge of the game of basketball, but participate in that game of basketball. You buy these tennis shoes, you'll be able to play better basketball. You go out and practice and wear our apparel, and you'll be able to play better basketball. And by the way, it works. Because it doesn't really work that you can play better basketball. But the marketing works, because there's a lot of high school kids that say, "I need a $150 pair of tennis shoes, Air Jordans, so that I can play like Michael Jordan." And they'll get their parents to go out and buy it. Listen, here's what they're telling them. Don't be satisfied with just having a knowledge of the game. Buy our apparel and go play the game. Become an expert in the game of basketball. Don't let anything hold you back. Practice and practice and practice some more. Don't let anything keep you on the couch. Get out and participate in the game of sports. And they built a global brand on that. And can I say this morning, we would do well to heed that admonition in the Christian life. Those things that we've received and learned and heard and seen in me do. And can I say that idea of that Nike has, just do it? It wasn't original with them. I want you to go back to John in chapter 13. I want to see this principle that's found here in the Scriptures. Again, Jesus Christ speaking to His disciples, and we're almost finished this morning. But He says there in verse 17, all these things that He's been teaching His disciples and those that have been following Him, He says this: "If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." As we have the scriptures declared to us, as we know what we're supposed to do, happy are ye if you do them. And again this morning, as you've come to this place, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know the burdens that you may be carrying. But I do want to tell you this morning that the peace of God is available in your life. Through the difficulties, through the hard times. And there may be someone in here this morning that's carrying a very great burden. And you're wondering, how am I going to find my way through this? And I'm saying, first of all, do you know God? Are you at peace with God? If you are, then if you'll just walk with Him, you can experience the peace of God to take you through that trial. I want to point you back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, and we'll be done. Because He gives us the prescription for peace. And then He gives us the promise. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in Me, He says, do. That's the key. That's the prescription for God's peace as we live this life. And here's the promise. And the God of peace shall be with you. It's the promise. It's a simple promise. It's a simple way to that promise. It's just doing what God has called us to do. And yet we got to go beyond just being okay with being at peace with God to realizing God has a far greater purpose for my life. God has a far greater purpose for this trial than just to beat me up. He longs to work through me into the lives of other people so they can see the peace of God at work in my life. And like Paul, churches spring up. People are encouraged. Men are speaking with boldness now. The word of God is being proclaimed in the palace. Why? Because of the peace of God. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know how God may have used this message in your life, and certainly, again, don't know all the things that we're carrying with us today. But I want you to understand, God has all the help we need for living this Christian life. I want to ask you, first of all, do you know God? No greater question will be answered as you live this life. Do you know God? Is there a relationship with Him? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, I want to invite you to come up to this altar where there will be a personal worker that will take a Bible and show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. And then once you are at peace with God, let me ask you, are you experiencing the peace of God on a daily basis? Is there some turmoil going on in your life right now in which you need God's help? He's got it available for us. We just need to come before Him to do the things that we're supposed to do. In just a moment, we're going to have Him an invitation, and the altars will be open for anybody that wants to come and pray, just to ask the Lord for help, or if you want to pray with someone, personal workers will be here. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for the very simple message from Your Word this morning. Lord, the peace of God that's available to every believer, the peace with God that's available to every person. I pray that You'd help to work in our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to make the decisions You'd have us to make. In Your name I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand this morning if you need.